Let me just follow that video up with a few comments for a moment. Our church is participating in Operation Christmas Child. And so the boxes we had last week, they're gone. We've got more coming in, I think, this Friday. Samaritan's Purse said they'll have us more this Friday. And so you can use whatever boxes you want if you want to participate. I think in years past, if you remember a long time ago, we just used shoeboxes. Now, many times we use the boxes that we can purchase from them. But feel free to participate in that. We have forms that'll show you how to do that. Those of you that receive the IBC email every Sunday afternoon, there are links in that email that you can click on. Maybe right now you don't feel comfortable going to the store, doing your own boxes, doing all that in person. You can go online. It's going to cost a little more because they're going to do all the work. But I've already looked through the website. You can click and choose what age. Do you want boy or girl? What age do you want? Which toys do you want? Everything's there for you if you want to participate, but you feel more comfortable just doing it online. So whether you want to do it in person or online, also because of the delay of the boxes this week, they have scooted us back a week, given us an extra week to begin to bring things. So the first Sunday in December is our deadline here at our church. So just keep that in mind as well. The rest of the announcements you will see in the email that you receive this afternoon as well. So we just have the things continuing, the youth meetings continue, the young adults meeting continue. And so let's just be keeping in line with those things as well. Good attendance today. It's good to see you all. And I know this is a step of faith at times, even to get out in these times, but thank you for those of you that are here with us. Thank you for those that I know that some of you we talked during the week and you're watching online. So just trust that God will be in our midst in all of that today. And so if you would please bow with me in prayer and then we will begin. Father, we come before you today asking that your will would be done. And Father, honestly, there are times that we don't know exactly what you want to do. And so I would like to do this today, Father. We want to pray that your will would be done. And our confidence is that your scripture says that your spirit intercedes on our behalf. That the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God's will is for us. Father, that the Holy Spirit, when he intercedes, he knows exactly what your will is, what you want, what we need. And so, Father, today we just want to add a big amen to whatever the Holy Spirit is praying for our church today. Father, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing to intercede on our behalf as a church this morning in this service time, we say amen. We pray in agreement with the Holy Spirit, praying today that your will would be done in us individually and also as a group. And so, Father, as we always pray, we pray that your word and your spirit would intersect today in our hearts, in our lives, in this place. And that, Lord, you would make us like Jesus, Father, that you would be glorified, that people here who do not know you would maybe today for the first time ever put their faith in Jesus. And so we just thank you, Lord. Just pray that you would come and work in our midst today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Joshua chapter 9, we find a story. The background of Joshua chapter 9 is, of course, the earlier chapters in Joshua. God has been working mightily in the lives of Joshua and the people of Israel. He has miraculously brought them into the land, the promised land. Jericho, the walled city, the mighty walled city, has been defeated. The city of Ai has been defeated. And the word is getting out. When you look in scripture, you see the other kings, the kings of the cities in that area in the promised land, have heard about what God is doing. And so they have made a plan to group together. And as these cities come together with their armies, they're all going to come together against Joshua and the army of Israel. Except for one city. There's one city named Gibeon. It has a different plan. The city of Gibeon has this plan. They pull aside a few of the men and they dress them in clothes that are old and tattered and dirty, as if they've been traveling for a really long time. They give them bags to carry that have old, moldy, dry bread in the bags to make it look like they've been traveling a really long time. They give them these wineskins that are so dry and brittle and they've broken and they've been fixed and to put them on so it looks like they've been traveling for a really long time. And so these men arrive in the camp of Israel, and they come before Joshua and the leaders of Israel, and they say the story, "Oh, we have come from a land so far away, but we have heard about your God, Yahweh, the Lord. We have heard about him and the mighty things that he has done all the way back to when he brought you out of Egypt. So we are here today after traveling so far to form a covenant with you, a peace treaty." And so scripture tells us that some of those with Joshua even said, "How do we know that they're not really from this area? Well, what if they're from the promised land?" But they listened to the story, and in the end, they are convinced. And so I don't know if it was a contract or they signed it or how exactly it worked out, but they made a covenant with these people from the foreign land. But 3 days later, they find out they're from the city of Gibeon that isn't that far away. Now, the difficult or the most attention-grabbing verse we have here is verse 14. It says this, "So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord." In the context here, this is what's happening. You have Joshua and the leaders of Israel, and before them stand these men who look like they've traveled a very long distance, and it says they took their provisions, meaning that they took the evidence. They looked at the bag, they looked at the stale bread, but they did not seek the counsel of the Lord. They looked at the evidence with their mind, with their life experience, with their own thoughts, with the discussion. They decided, let's sign the paper. Let's commit to the covenant. But the mistake was made because they did not ask counsel from the Lord. Now, throughout Scripture, we see that God's people, those who are truly God's people, those who are walking faithfully with God, they are people that inquire of the Lord. When you go through Scripture, you see it in different places. God's people at different times, man, woman, groups of God's people, they inquire when choosing a king. They inquire, Rebecca inquired of God about the health of her pregnancy. They inquire about battle. They inquire about seeking blessing. They inquire about seeking revival. They inquire of God seeking safety when needing wisdom and when needing to know how to govern, when choosing leader, when studying God's word, when facing emergencies. The pattern of God's faithful people in the Scripture is that they inquire of the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Isaiah 55:6 declares, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." The pattern in Scripture is those who walk faithfully with God inquire of the Lord. They seek his counsel. Now, one of our best examples of this is King David. Multiple times in Scripture, inquires of the Lord, inquires of the Lord. He inquires of the Lord wisdom if to go to battle or not. He inquires of the Lord, why was the famine happening? He's inquiring of the Lord, should I build the temple? The pattern in King David's life is he inquired of the Lord. We get all the way down to Acts 13 in the New Testament, and we find this verse. "He," meaning God, "raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.'" David had a heart that was listening for God's voice and a will that was already prepared to obey even before God spoke. And so when we look at Scripture, this is the idea. God will speak to those who have a heart to hear and a will to obey. Now, we're going to see the opposite of King David and King Saul. King Saul was the king before King David. He gets to the point in 1 Samuel chapter 28, it says King Saul, or in that story, King Saul comes before God. He inquires of the Lord, and God said, absolutely nothing. Why? Because he was a king who was walking in disobedience. When we continue on to the story, it gets so bad that Saul, when he gets no response from God when he seeks him, that he goes and finds a medium, a lady, who communicates with the dead. And she calls up the prophet Samuel. And Samuel says this, "Why do you ask me?" And this is the prophet Samuel who'd already died. "Why do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord?" Saul had first asked God, and God didn't listen. God didn't respond because of his disobedience. So then Saul goes to a medium who talks to spirits of the dead. And through that situation, it's revealed, why are you coming to me? You already know that God has turned his heart against you. You already know that God has put himself as an enemy against you because of your disobedience. Now we see a similar idea in Ezekiel 14. In Ezekiel 14, the elders of Israel come before the prophet, and they are inquiring of the Lord. And God's response is this, I'm not going to answer your inquiry. I'm going to speak into the idols of your heart, to the iniquities in your heart. That's his response. He even gets to the point, he says, I will turn my face against you. He will not respond to them. And so when we come out of that, once again, we see the opposite. Let's go back the other way in Jesus. Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying. And you see this picture in Jesus of the heart to hear and the will to obey. Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, let your will be done. And then Jesus turns his heart towards the cross and completely obeys what the Father has set before him. If you and I are going to be a people that inquire of the Lord, the key word there is Lord. We cannot inquire of the Lord who is not our Lord. When you look in Scripture, he will communicate, commune, talk with, walk in intimacy with those who make him Savior and Lord. Those who have bowed their hearts, those who have turned from sin and believed in Jesus, he becomes their Lord. Now, I would say there are many of us in this room who've done that, who've been drawn into that, who are now walking in the faith. But do we not have days where he is our Lord by our identity, by our conversion, but he's not our Lord in the moment? Now, sometimes that's just a day. Sometimes it is just a moment. But sometimes, honestly, it's a season. You've been there before. Where you've walked in a season of life where you've turned your heart away. You have hardened our heart. Maybe we there's a bitterness in our heart, or maybe God didn't give us what we wanted, or maybe life is more painful than we expected for whatever reason, or maybe we're just not nurturing our faith. And we're walking in a way where honestly, practically, he's not Lord. And so there are several issues here. One is, are we even thinking about it? Inquiring of the Lord. And for those of us that are, when we inquire of the Lord, are we walking in a way where he is Lord? That's what we see in Scripture. Time and again, we are to be a people that inquire of the Lord. But when we inquire of the Lord, he has to be Lord. He has to be Lord. Now, when you look in the Old Testament, for them, things were somewhat different. At times, they would go to the prophet. You need to inquire of the Lord, you would go to the prophet. That's usually what King David did. He would go to the prophet many times, at least when he was king. He would go to the prophet, present the situation. The prophet would talk with God, somehow communicate with God, and the prophet would speak back. At other times, you had the priests in the Old Testament, and they had this pocket in the priestly robes that they put the Urim and the Thummim in. These two, or there might have been, they would put them in the pocket, and it would almost like casting lots. So someone would come to the priest and want God's will, and so then they would cast the lots and see how they came out, and they would say, this is God's will, or yes, or no, or maybe silence. That was King Saul's situation, where God didn't speak at all. In the Old Testament, we see visions, we see dreams, we see angels. Now, we're not saying none of those are in effect, because many of those are still in effect, but we don't really have a priest to go to for the Urim and the Thummim. So many ways it is different, but one of the biggest difference is that we are post-Pentecost. Now, let me explain what that means. Post-Pentecost means we're after Pentecost, means Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came, things are different for us now. The Holy Spirit now lives in us. The Holy Spirit who changes our desires and affections. The Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth, that was not in play in the same way in the Old Testament. We also now have God's Word, especially including the New Testament, that they did not have in their day. We now can look back and know how the Messiah came. We know that Jesus was a Messiah. We know He lived a sinless life. We know that He was the Son of God. We know that He died on the cross for our sins, that He's been raised back to life. We know all those things now. And so for us, when you and I inquire of the Lord, it's different. Yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But now that the Holy Spirit has come, there is an intimacy that the Old Testament did not know. Christ is with us. God is in us. And so as we begin to take our theology, which is that Christ is in us and we are in Him, that the Holy Spirit is with us, that we have God's Word, that we are amongst God's people, inquiring of the Lord takes somewhat of a different turn than it did in the Old Testament many times. And so let's talk through that. When we think about the way that we would inquire of the Lord today, there are multiple ways that God has put in place. As I've mentioned, there's God's Word. There's the counsel of God's people, meaning the advice of God's people. There is prayer. And so there are multiple things. So let me walk through a scenario just to kind of give an example. Let's say that you in your life today are faced with a decision. Maybe do you take the job and move away? Maybe you don't have a job and it's been like that a long time and you're really seeking, should you stay in Spain or not? Maybe you are single but you're considering a relationship and you're thinking about marriage. I mean, there are all kinds of decisions that we could be faced with today. But let's walk through this. If we are going to be a people that inquire of the Lord, first is this, are we praying? Because in prayer, that starts the whole process. We already submit ourselves to the place of saying, you know more than I know, God. I don't know the future. I don't know all the details. I don't even know myself and my own heart fully. And so, God, I'm going to start out as I'm inquiring of you with prayer, submitting all of this to you. Great place to start because we're putting Him in His rightful place and us in our rightful place. We inquire of the Lord. An interesting thing that happens there also is in Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God has already set it up. Are you in a place that anxiety or worry would be really natural for you? Then come to me. Lay it before me. Pray about it before me. And as you entrust God with it, as He takes the weight on His shoulders, what does He give us in exchange? A peace that passes all understanding. Because how many times have you and I been in a decision, in a place where we had to make a choice, and we were worried, and there was anxiety, and then we end up making a decision based on urgency and desperateness, and, oh, I don't know what to do, and pressure and emotion, when God has already said, no, 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 that's not the way we do it. You trust in me. You pray. Do not be anxious about all things, but we pray. And so as we start out the process of inquiring of the Lord, we pray. Now, the next difficult question is the Lord question. Are you and I walking in a place, in a way right now in our life that we're submitted to the will of God? I mean, I understand that's difficult at times. But are you and I coming to a place where we're saying, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. My heart is listening and my will has already decided to obey, even though I don't know what he's going to say. I think honestly, our tendency when we walk in the flesh, when we're doing things naturally, is I'm going to take it to God. And if his response makes sense to me, then I will gladly obey. Glory to God. Which is not true. There is no glory in that. There is not faith in that. There is not lordship in that. And so can you and I come to a place where we lay the situation before God? You might as well admit it. God, I confess to you that my tendency is do it the way I want. My tendency is do what I think makes sense to me in the way that I think. But God, I pray that as I'm laying it before you, you would give me a heart that is so believing in you that I will commit ahead of time to doing whatever you're going to say, even though I don't know what it's going to be. That is the characteristic of someone who's inquiring of the Lord. Now, practically speaking, what else would happen in your process as you're seeking God's will? One is go to God's Word. How does God's Word speak into your situation? Now, I'm taking for granted here that you've already done your homework, that you've already researched your situation. You already know all the details. If I choose this, this will happen. If I choose this, these would be the conditions. I'm already taking for granted that you and I have done a good amount of research, so we're informed about the different elements of our decisions. And then we bring it to Scripture. And in Scripture, first of all, Scripture shows us about God. It shows us about ourselves, which sometimes we definitely need to be exposed. Scripture also shows us about God's agenda. Scripture looks at the world from an eternal perspective. It just helps us see rightly. And at times it speaks even directly to the situation that we're faced with. And if it doesn't, it often brings values, priorities, purposes, goals that should be ours because they're God's and we belong to Him. If you and I leave the Scripture out of it, then we reduce it down to me and you trying to make the best decision we can, when this last year should prove to us that we don't know the future and the world is incredibly unstable. Will we not let that drive us to the place where we inquire of the Lord regularly, where that is just the way that we live? Scripture is a huge part of seeking out God's will, as it tells us how to think and shows us how to desire. We also have God's people. The advantage of God's people is many times they're outside of the situation. It's a combination of God's wisdom, but also hopefully a more objective perspective. Now, just because somebody's a Christian doesn't mean they give wise counsel. So let's be careful there. None of us are perfect. None of us know all things. That's why we're going to God in the first place. But at the same time, can you prayerfully consider saying, God, is there anybody in my life? Is there anybody in the church? Is there any other believers you know maybe from the past and have relationships with that would be a person that you could call and just say, hey, I'm calling. I'm seeking God. I'm inquiring of the Lord on this, but I really need some input. But I'm committed to God's will. And then begin to share it with them and let other people begin to prayerfully speak into our lives from a godly perspective, from a biblical perspective. There are times we need a fresh perspective. And so we have God's people, we have God's word, we have prayer. And there's still going to be times that God's going to speak, let's call it a divine impression. And this is the one we got to be careful with. But what I mean by that is, have you ever been in a situation where you're struggling with a decision and you're in a conversation and something is said and then God just begins to make things clear? There's nothing magical about what was said, But as you're getting wise counsel, or maybe you were reading a book, or maybe you saw something, and somehow God begins to bring the pieces together. Now, the reason I say this is dangerous, because if you're not careful, this gets emotional and subjective. And the way we guard against that is godly counsel, God's word, prayer. That's our filter. That's how God holds us accountable. That's how God calls us back to his way. But I want to say this as we close up today. This isn't really about method. I know our tendency, if you're anything like me, is you're saying, okay, give me the 5 steps. You know, step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5, it prints out. Here's the result. Glory to God. That was easy. That was clear. There have been many times, I'm sure, in our lives that God has not spoke clearly, that it was not written on the wall. There was no lightning strike. There was no audible word. God somehow guided us to the place where we needed to be, or maybe we went to the place we weren't supposed to be. Ultimately, it's not method. Ultimately, it's relationship. That if you and I have truly put our faith in Jesus Christ, that even if we're facing a decision right now that is really scary and has huge consequence, that we still could be a people that can lay it on the altar through prayer and say, God, I don't know, but you know. But we're not using method, we're using relationship. Because we are praying to a father as a child. We are praying to the shepherd. We are praying to the almighty counselor who lives in us and we live in him. And in the midst of the relationship, even if you mess up the method, oh, I forgot to do this step or do this step, our confidence is in the Lord to whom we are inquiring. That even if there weren't steps, or even if we didn't get everything right, our confidence is, as we trust, as we put our faith in the Lord who is over all things, if our heart is right, if our heart is hearing, if our will is ready to obey no matter what he says, that somehow a sovereign God will draw us in and guide us in the right steps. He is our confidence. Do you need to do your research? Yes, do your research. Study all you can. Learn about the situation all you can. Get in God's word. Apply the light of God's word to the situation. Get counsel from God's people. Pray and then pray. And when we finish with that, pray. But our confidence is in the relationship. I want to end up by doing this. Let's go back to the beginning story. Joshua chapter 9. Everything we know about Joshua, we see faithfulness. Joshua was used by God. Israel came into the promised land based on God's promise. As far as we can see in Scripture, they were trying to do the right thing, but they just made a mistake because they did not seek the Lord's counsel. May we not be that people. May we pray, call out to God, saying, God, honestly, I am that people. I make decisions with my own mind, with my own logic, with my own experience, with my own greatness, and I'm just realizing I'm not great. God, show me who you are. Show me who I am. God, I pray that you would do whatever it takes to remind me of yourself over and over and over again. God, protect me from my arrogance. Protect me from my self-sufficiency. Father, protect me and help me become a person who inquires of the Lord as a way of life. Because as we humble ourselves, already commit to obedience, we are going to find that God will begin to work through us as individuals, as parents, as spouses, as children, as employees and employers, as church members, as part of the family of God in ways that we never thought possible. May we inquire of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. Father, honestly, there's not much new information here. It's a reminder to our mind and to our hearts. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, when we rely on us When you don't even come to mind, Father, forgive us. Father, humble us, deliver us, teach us, show us, carry us. And so, Father, we just pray, especially for those in the church who are really faced with decisions at this time. Father, that we would be people who inquire of the Lord, that we would call out to you for wisdom. Father, we just pray that if, honestly, if in this moment today you are not Lord, we pray that you would be Lord. That if we belong to you already, that your Spirit would work in our heart in such a way that you would convict us of sin, that you would expose, that you would strengthen, that you would compel. Father, whatever we need, Father, we just pray as a father disciplines a child for good, we just pray that you would move in our lives to move us to the point where you truly are Lord. And Father, in that place, we pray that you would show your will to us. Father, we just pray that you'd minister to us. Father, pray that we would not desire your will without desiring you. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would show yourself to us and create a desire, show our need, and make us desperately dependent on you, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for those here today or maybe those listening who do not know you, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you would grant them faith, that, Lord, you would bring conviction of sin. Lord, today would be the day of salvation. And so, Lord, we just pray. We set it in your hands and just pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.